Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're joined on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline by PackerNews.com's Aaron Nagler. Aaron is somebody who Twitter has kicked off before.
But they've let him back on.
They let him back on. But I thought last night, I was thinking, what's a tweet that could get me kicked off of Twitter? So I issued one out, Aaron. I put Packers 26, Steelers 23. Somehow I'm still on Twitter.
Jeez.
I don't know how. Somehow I'm still on Twitter.
You know what's funny is I almost responded to it saying, Chuck, stop.
It's just insane.
Yeah.
Insane.
Yeah. No. He's going out on the ledge on this Chuck, one. Yeah.
You got to get him under control over there.
Hey, when he's rolling downhill like a snowball headed for hell, nothing I can do about it. Thanks. Nothing I can do. He's on a
no doubt.
Yeah, so I've learned that a long time ago. So he's gonna die, like we always like to say, die on or fall on the sword, or die on that island. What do you say, Bart? Die on that hill.
Die on the vine, isn't it?
Die on the hill. Is Mike McCarthy doing the same thing with Hundley these days, and continuing to get behind his guy?
Yeah, I think there's a little bit of that. I thought my colleagues Eric Bronchick and Pete Doherty put it pretty well this morning. They have a piece up at PackersNews.com explaining why McCarthy is essentially sticking with Hundley come hell or high water. You know, he's clearly made it, you know, very obvious and strenuously told us over and over again he has 3 years invested in the young man. And I don't think three starts is enough that he's going to just throw away that investment. I know it's frustrating. Goodness knows it's hard to watch. You know, that he's going to have his ups and downs, a lot more downs at the moment. But McCarthy's going to see it through. And I think, you know, organizationally, this is their philosophy, the draft and develop mantra that we've heard time and time again. Well, they drafted Hundley. They've developed him, and they're continuing to develop him, maybe to the detriment of the rest of the team. But, you know, darn it, that is their philosophy, and that's what they're going to stick with. And it would have been interesting to see what would have happened had they brought in some kind of veteran when Rodgers was initially hurt, or even if this past offseason, if they had gone that route. But we're way past that time now. They are in with Hundley. And the thing is, you know, I'm not surprised Mike stuck with him through the entire game. I would have thought at halftime maybe he would have made a switch against the Ravens. But the fact is, if you bench Hundley, there's no coming back from that. Then you're stuck with Callahan, and, you know, you're down to your third quarterback, and you're essentially almost punting on the season at that point. So I know he's kind of in a hard spot, and he can only work with what he's given, but there was pretty ugly display of offensive football Sunday at Lambeau Field.
Aaron Nagler, PackersNews.com, joins us Tuesdays at 9 here on The Fan. All right, so for my back to my tweet, because I love to talk about myself. Packers 26, Steelers 23 is what I tweeted. There, these last couple of games, there's been turning points early. There was the game where Mike Daniels had that stupid penalty, and then that kind of cost them, and then the whole course of the game changed. And I think that happened again against Baltimore. I wonder how this game turns out Sunday if Hundley doesn't throw that first interception in the red zone. This should have been a winnable game, because as bad as the Packers' offense is, Aaron, the Ravens are terrible. I don't know how they have five wins. They're bad on offense.
Their offense is hard to watch as well, and that's what's so hard to stomach when you look at how the defense was, you know, played winning football against, yes, admittedly a bad offense, but the fact that they couldn't generate anything on offense. And I agree somewhat that, you know, if that pass to Randall Cobb is maybe a little further out there and he catches it and they go up 7-0, maybe it's a little different, but I still think all of these same issues would be there with Brett Hundley and the offense. I don't think, you know, that completed pass would magically wipe away all the bad decision-making, the poor arm strength, the tendency to look at the rush, to bail on pockets for no reason. All of those things are still going to happen, whether he scores there or not. So, you know, it may have, you know, changed the tenor of the game for a while, but I still think you're facing the same issues. And to me, the real curious part of it was McCarthy's game plan coming into that game was clearly to try and work the ball downfield against one of the best secondaries in the league. That made no sense to me.
There seems to be something there with Hundley. This is what I was trying to... It's hard to explain, and I get why McCarthy wants to go down with this thing, because there, at times, especially when he connects with Devontae, there's some talent there, but there's so many mistakes. I mean, he's just, whether he's staring guys down or just quickly retreating, or I think there's a demeanor problem. I don't understand. That's my question. That's it. I don't understand is my question.
There wasn't a question.
I'm throwing the ball away on third down in this question like Brett Hundley does on third and two.
I love it. No, I understand what you're saying. The demeanor thing is funny to me because I've always kind of railed against body language police, and my Twitter feed on Sundays is filled with people who are upset about Hundley's demeanor, much like yourself. So I think that part's
I don't
funny, but
care about the gum thing.
No, I mean just the way he, I know, like.
But it just looks like he has no. It looks like he has no confidence at times.
He has no confidence, no passion. That's the other thing I see a lot.
Yeah.
And heck, would you have any confidence or passion if you were playing that poorly? I sure wouldn't. I mean, I get what you're saying though. As far as you, there are teases there. He'll make some throws, and you'll kind of perk up and think, okay, all right, there's something to work with. But there are so many negatives. There's so many bad plays. There's so many times where the structure of the offense is fine, but he does something to kind of, skew it. Whether he's running out of the pocket, whether he's looking at the rush, whether he's making a boneheaded throw, there's always seems to be something on nearly every play, right? Especially at least in the passing game, where if your quarterback isn't at least playing within the structure. You're going to fall apart, and that's what happened repeatedly on Sunday. And so that's Mike McCarthy has got his work cut out for him in that regard. There's no doubt about it.
I find it hard to believe that everybody in the Packer organization are on page with this decision to go with Hundley as their backup quarterback to begin with.
Yeah, that's funny. I ran into you at Lambeau, and we were talking about that.
Yeah.
It's funny. I do think this, you trace this all back what we were talking about before about their organizational philosophy. Well, who sets that philosophy? That's Ted Thompson, and Mark Murphy isn't going to say anything. He's let football to Ted, as he should. We don't get to talk to Ted. We're not going to hear from Ted until February at the combine. So Mike McCarthy is left now. What choice does he have other than to back this kid? I'm sure McCarthy would like to have had a veteran brought in as a backup probably this last offseason. I'm sure he'd like a little experience at the position, rather than constantly having to teach guys the system and teach the guys the game of football, and on the NFL level especially. But he's stuck with what he's been given by his general manager. And now he has to answer for all the problems and all the issues and all the shortcomings, but honestly, probably aren't by his design. So I kind of feel for McCarthy in that way because, that they most likely – could have gone out this offseason and gotten some kind of veteran backup. I know people, fans, my Twitter feed is filled up every offseason with why aren't they signing guys? Why aren't they signing a veteran backup, et cetera, et cetera. Well, now they've placed their faith in Brett Hundley and they're gonna go down with that ship.
Aaron Nagler, PackersNews.com on Twitter at Aaron Nagler. Defensively, I mean, they weren't much better. Now they held the Ravens to 23 points when the Ravens had great field position throughout the game. So hooray, but Joe Flacco's not good. So who cares? The defense, it's still a problem with this pass rush from this team. And I don't know how you fix that. Now you have Kenny Clark, who's gone down with the high ankle sprain and he'll miss some time. I don't know how you stop. I mean, I'm putting out on Twitter, sure, that they'll beat the Steelers, but I also am an idiot. How do you stop now Le'Veon Bell, Antonio Brown, Juju Smith-Schuster?
Oh, tell me about it.
Martavis Bryant, Ben Roethlisberger.
It's not going to be pretty. And I think you're being a bit harsh on the defense. I thought they did play well, regardless of the deal.
I'm just so down on Baltimore that I disqualified the whole thing.
I hear you. They got after the quarterback a few times. I thought Vince Beagle showed some nice stuff. Kyler Fackrell probably had his best game as a pro. Not that that's hard, but... you know, there were some flashes there. But now you lose Clay Matthews, who finally gets to the quarterback and then promptly gets injured. And the Kenny Clark injury you just mentioned, that's obviously a big one. I mean, they have no one's been talking about, probably because the quarterback overshadows everything. But they've played fantastic run defense. And now the last three games, they've absolutely shut teams down. But now you lose Kenny Clark. Well, guess what? That's all going to come reaching to a halt. And, here you go. Here's Le'Veon Bell for your first test without your big guy in the middle. It's not great timing. And I have no idea how they're going to slow down Pittsburgh with the people they got out there. I mean, especially if Kevin King's unable to go with that shoulder. You got Josh Hawkins out there going to have to be covering Juju or Antonio Brown. That could get late real early in Pittsburgh.
Boy, 14-point underdogs. Aaron, I don't remember the last time they've been this big of dogs. Since the 80s.
It was 2010, actually. It was the week after Rodgers went down with the concussion.
Oh, to New England.
And they were going into New England with Clint as their starter.
They were 14 points.
And I tell you what, this is traditionally when McCarthy does his best work, when people completely count them out and no one expects them to be competitive. And he circles the wagons, and they showed up in that game. They showed up in that New England game. Now, obviously, they lost at the end, but no one expected that to be a competitive game, and it was. So I do think McCarthy has it in him to get it, to rally his guys and to put something together that at least makes it a competitive contest. But you're asking an awful lot just on paper when you compare the two teams. For Green Bay to go into Pittsburgh and win this game, it would have to be one of McCarthy's best coaching jobs of his career.
Is there any way he gets fired at the end of the year?
I have a hard time seeing that. I doubt it. The thing is, though, he will be entering the last year of his deal in 2018. So I do think it will be interesting to see what they do. Maybe they give him the one-year extension or something like they did to Mike Sherman back in the day, although we all remember how that played out. But, you know, are they going to let him go into 2018 as a lame duck? I can't imagine that. So how do you turn around then if they lose it? Let's say they finish 5-11 or whatever. Do you turn around and say, oh, by the way, we're giving our coach a contract extension? That feels weird, right?
So, yeah, but you remember, too.
It's going to be interesting to see how it plays out.
Even Ted Thompson, he gave Mike Sherman a contract extension when he knew full well that he was going to fire him after a year.
Exactly, precisely. And that's what I mean. Like, maybe they give him like that one-year deal tacked on just to so he's not a technical lame duck. But I don't know, man. That's what I mean. It's this next kind of – and then there's Thompson's contract, you know, that's coming up after the 2018 season, after that draft. So this next 18 months here, it's a huge pivot point for the Packers organization. And Mark Murphy, someone we never hear from really, he's going to have his first real decision. I mean, he has done a lot for the Packers organization on the business side, but this is going to be his first really big football decision that he's going to have to make when it comes to what to do with Ted Thompson and what direction to go after his contract is up. That will have huge ramifications for the organization, and it's the first real football decision Murphy's going to have to make.
Have a good Thanksgiving weekend outside of Sunday night.
Yes. What are you doing, Aaron? Are you going back?
I'm heading back to New York tonight, and then my family is going to Philadelphia for the week to be with a bunch of friends, and then I'm tracking from Philly to Pittsburgh for the game.
Oh, okay. Wow.
Not Joe Biden.
Yeah, right, exactly. Joe Biden.
I was thinking Richard Pryor and Silver Streak.
Oh.
Either one. Either one works. It'll probably be a combination of both.
All right. Aaron, planes, trains, and automobiles for you.
That's what I'm looking forward to.
Steve Martin.
Have a good Thanksgiving. We will talk next week.
Happy Thanksgiving, guys. Thanks a lot.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.